Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Give me ears to hear. Give me eyes to see.
And the spirit of understanding.
To really comprehend. That you're on the job. For me. So he gave me a lot, and I'll be sharing some of it a little bit later.
Power on. Bluetooth device is ready to pair.
Perfect. Thank you. Welcome.
The Bluetooth device is connected successfully. Radio mode. Thank auxiliary you. Input mode.
Thank you, Lord. I very seldom get a question from the Lord. But this morning, he was on the job. I had been praying for about an hour or so. And I will share some of the stuff that we were communicating a little bit later. But what I want you to hear is my own looking at what happened. I had an opportunity to pray again for what he wants for this house of prayer. And my prayer was that he would release his spirit in the full potential that we have an available heart to do. So I said, Lord, I know it will be Holy Spirit led and controlled. And I'm resting and waiting for your will and your plan to be done. Then I heard in my heart, it was not an audible voice, but I heard. Holy Spirit say, how much of my church really listens to me? And I heard him answer 3%. Lord Jesus, this says 97% are true believers. Only 3% use their spirit in submission to the Holy Spirit to receive instructions without consulting their logic. Their reasoning, because the soul is 97% in control, and it refuses to rest and trust in the Holy Spirit to do and to bring his plan. Then he gave me this to really comprehend. He said, remember that Lucifer truly believed that he could rule the earth better than the Creator. And he put out his plan to deceive Adam. He has succeeded for almost 6,000 years. Not bad for a deceiver and his cohorts. But then the Redeemer lives and does the unaccepted. And swallowed up death and the grave. And he will do it again in a corporate son and in a corporate way. This is the plan for this new day. Rest and trust. So I took a couple of deep breaths. I pondered on this word. And I was crying inside. I was crying because I would like to see something different. I would like to see the signs and wonders of Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5. I'd like to see that. I have a sense we will taste it because I was a season in my life that I did taste that. I tasted it. I lived it. I had an example of it. I saw mighty signs and wonders take place. I saw people that were broken being restored. And one of them I saw yesterday morning. And that was Andy. Andy and his wife came to sit with me. And it was kind of cool because his wife came first, gave me a hug. He comes second, gives me a hug. And then she pushes him in so he can sit next to me because he's my little boy. It's my little boy because when I was working at Grace Church, his aunt brought him every week on Friday night to the healing service. Because you see, he had a death sentence on his life. He had cancer. And it was hopeless. They did what they could. And he was about between four and five years old. And every Friday night, I held him in my arms. I anointed him with oil. And I would walk around worshiping the Lord with him in my arms. Usually, sometimes for 15, 20 minutes, whatever. And all I did was cry out, Lord, you know what's got to be done in this little baby. Well, of course, that little baby now has three babies of his own. And they're not babies anymore. In fact, I saw them yesterday, and they're just beautiful children. So he sits next to me. And the worship started to go forward. And I was having a hard time connecting because the words were different. And so I did join in as best I could because they had the words up. But it just wasn't happening. So now I'm praying in the spirit saying, Lord, what do you want? And I heard you need to lay hands on Andy. He needs a bigger shield over his heart and a bigger shield over his back. Up until that point, he was struggling, but I wasn't. It wasn't a communicated struggle. It was, I knew. So a few moments later, I heard now, because the people were worshiping and they were focused on the Lord. And I turned around and I put my left hand on his back. And I put my hand over his heart. I began to pray. And I spoke the words the Lord gave me to speak. And within about 3 minutes, a smile came on his face. And he began to lift his hands to the Lord and to worship for a few moments. You see, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit being in you if you can't listen and obey? Why is he here? Why was he released in the earth? Why did he download into me back in 1977? Was it for me to sit and stay the way I was? So I can only speak about me. I'm not interested in, you know, trying to advertise about others because we'd be here all day. What I'm trying to say is his purpose was to change this natural man into a spiritual man. From a natural son to a spiritual son. And it's not happening in my book fast enough. So I confess, I'd like to be way ahead of where we are. However, I have to learn to be satisfied with where I am and where he's taken me. Several months ago, there was a word that was given. And it was given to me. that the commission has not changed. That we have to come out of this 97% of being in our minds and our emotions and in our being a church with good feelings and excitement. There's nothing wrong with that, but it should not be our focus. Entertainment is wonderful. But I heard a man of God speak just a couple months ago. I believe it was John Paul Jackson, who's gone to be with the Lord now. And his comment was, a great majority of the church is worshiping at their own altar. They're worshiping at their own music. They're worshiping at their own talents. Then they're really bypassing what the whole intent of church is. The intent is to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. The intent is for the Holy Spirit to be in control. The intent is to have the Holy Spirit take the shackles off of the Peter in me and the Peter in you and take us out of this jail that we're living in that's tied to these emotions and these bodies that are still very carnal. And so, what am I saying? I'm saying that there has to be a change. And I can't change me. I tried, you know, but I fail miserably. So, my prayer is that we begin to go back to what happened in the book of Acts and say, okay, that Pentecost changed Jesus' life, and he actually impacted all of Israel. He really irritated everybody there, except for those that were living in the Galilee area. All of the real high mucky mucks and the religious folks in Jerusalem couldn't stand it. Can any of you relate? So I'm going to back this up and I'm going to kind of share what a little bit of what I was experiencing this morning. It was 5:57. And I wrote down, my heart is full to see your awesome plan unfold for this pastor's life and ceremony. I was blessed by a gentleman from Virginia who gave a closing message. He has a very strong voice and lots of pounding words. And his life was as in a very pain-filled background, which he shared. He had lost his wife not too long ago, remarried, but he pointed out, you can't live in that place where you're focused on death and those that have crossed over. You've got to keep on going. Your emotions are not going to like what you have to live through, but you have to keep on going. And he shared that beautifully. He then shared the sons, two of the sons shared about their dad, and so did the son-in-law, which was very moving. He shared about his background in the banking business and this pretty girl that happened to be Dale's daughter worked as a teller. And needless to say, you know, he really said, I'm going to take this girl out. But he heard about her reputation that all she talks about is Jesus. And he was not a believer. So he decided that he's going to ask her out anyway. But then he ran into a brick wall when he learned that her dad said loud and clear, you'll never take her to the altar until you bend your knee at the altar. So if you think you're planning to take my daughter, you better remember that your knee's going to bow at the altar. And when you say yes to Jesus, I'll give you permission to go further. Clear, to the point. Okay? Jesus, let this family be blessed. And your purpose unfold. Andy came to sit next to me, and it was good. I knew he needed a bigger shield over his heart, front and back, because of the arrows that were being shot at him. Jesus, I thank you for all you are building into this young man and his family. I also saw a young man that Dale had ministered to from another church, and he actually sang three songs, which was very beautiful. And I was blessed by the worship team, but they were hardly able to break through. They tried hard. I was also blessed to have a word of knowledge for the leader of that worship team. And I did release the word and anoint her with oil, and it was okay. Then as I had walked into the church, there was a young man there that kind of sparked into my eye. And later on, after the service was done, I had an opportunity to speak words of life into him and anoint him with oil. I got to know his dad and his mom for a few moments. And I know the Lord touched him because he was able to have joy in his eyes and in his smile. And he came back to life. Why was the whole ceremony maybe a little disappointing to me? It was simply this. It was beautiful. It was well done. There was a lot of well-meaning individuals did a great work. But I again would say now, 97% was the mind, will, and emotions of man in control. And 3% of the Holy Spirit having maybe a little space. Now you say, is that being critical? You discern. Or do I learn from someone's mistake without criticizing them? Because I would never do that. I was blessed. I'm not going to say that I wasn't. But I'm believing that his ultimate purpose is not to have that continue. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit is in the back seat of your ministry or your life, he's not downloading his will into you. He is back there as maybe a spare tire is. Hopefully you'll never have a flat tire, so you'll never use it. And you'll continue going down the road of life. I remember years and years ago, the Lord told me that I didn't let him in the driver's seat. I put him in the passenger seat of my drive home. And he told me, you know, it was better than being in the trunk, but he was still not driving the car. He was still not the one that was directing my life. He wasn't operating the wheel. He wasn't operating the shifter. He wasn't operating the gas pedal or the brakes. So if you look at that analogy and you realize that 97% of the time you're in the driver's seat and 3% he gets to give you instructions. At 3%, you obey. That's pretty scary, isn't it? But it's what I believe he was trying to show me. The word he gave me for the day is in Revelation chapter 22. So let's go to Revelation chapter 22. That's the very last page of your Bible. And it speaks of the river of life. This download came from a vision on Friday night. I was crying out for this service that was going to go on for my friend. And I had a snap vision that he was already on the job in the heavenly church. You see, the heavenly church and the earthly church are one. They're not divided. Those that are the 3%, they're connected. They know that the cloud of witnesses are connected. They know that the saints of the Most High are part of the deal. They're part of the harmony when you decide to worship and give thanks to the Lord. So, the verse that I really saw in my spirit was verse 8. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. So all of the book of Revelations, there's an angel showing everything that's going to happen to John. Now what? Verse 9. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the word of this book. Worship God. Now to explain. When I met Dale 20 years ago, it was because of a man that he knew and I knew, but both of us knew him from different time slots and so on and so forth. And his name is Kelly Varner. Kelly Varner came into my life in 1989. And he's the author of, I can't tell you how many dozens of books. He was from the Carolinas. And I got to meet him in Texas. I got to meet him personally at Dale's church 21 years ago. We had this incredible encounter on the phone when I called him to find out what time was they're going to be having this guest from the Carolinas. And we started to talk and we knew we were both talking about the same thing on the same page. And we had mutual backgrounds with this man. when I was looking to see what God is using Dale in the heavens, and I questioned, Lord, what is his position? Because the Lord told me he's not a pastor in the heavens anymore. He's a fellow servant, just like this man, revealing and doing a work for the Lord from the heavens to those that are still in the earth. That's what the vision was. I saw Dale worshiping the Lord, but I also saw him guiding and counseling men and women of God in this realm when the Holy Spirit sends him. Just like this man of God, okay, he says, I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets. So he's surrounded by the prophetic in the heavens and all who keep the word of this book and worship God. One of the things about Dale, he loved the word of God. He was very, very powerful in his ability to discern and understand and teach the word, and he did it very well. So I'm not complaining about any of this. I am trying to tell you what I'm learning from this experience. You see, experiences are not just haphazard. Experiences that you and I go through are designed for us to keep looking to the Holy Spirit and say, what about your plan on this? What do you want out of me when I come to church? What do I have to give to the body from the Lord? What did I learn this week about the Holy Spirit being in control of me instead of me doing my own thing? Right? Otherwise, you're going to come through the experience of the week the same way you ended up the week before and the year before and 10 years before that and 30 and 40 years before that. Otherwise, you're not maturing. And what are we looking for? We're looking to mature. We're looking to get stronger with the Lord, to obey when he gives us a commission. Go back to verse 1 of 22. Watch the angel, what he's saying here. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal. So John is writing it down, but he's being shown by the angel. That angel is a fellow servant with the prophets in the heavenly church doing a work in the earth. I remember when my dad passed away and I was having a major issue because I wasn't ready to let him go. And I was very much involved in Hebrews chapter 11, 12, and 13. That's where I was at the time. And it's about the cloud of witnesses and about the communion of saints, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought I understood it. Well, Dad went home to be with the Lord, and I survived the ordeal and continued to cry out to the Lord. I was very much aware of his suffering. I knew his body had done what, you know, it could. We had cried out for the Lord many, many times. And there were a lot of miracles that did happen, but the ultimate miracle that I wanted did not happen. So this is about maybe a couple, 3 months later. And it was on a Sunday night. And I was working at Grace. And I get a phone call around 9:30 at night. And it's raining. Very light rain. And the assistant pastor said, somebody forgot to turn the alarm on at church. Would you mind going down? I'm busy. Well, didn't feel like driving from home all the way over there and back. But you do what you are commissioned to do. Got in the car. Prayed in the Holy Ghost almost all the way. And I'm feeling sorry for myself. Having a little bit of a pity party, feeling alone. And I said, Lord, you know, that cloud of witnesses, you know, that's wonderful for having it written in the book, but what are you going to do about this for me? You wrote it in your book, but what about me? So it was the kind of night that there was zero breeze. There was no breeze of any kind. So I parked on one side of the church, and it was misty, very, very dark. And as I went up the sidewalk, I get this incredible whiff of aftershave. It is so strong, I'm literally almost, you know, I'm like when you get drunk, you know, you kind of get wavy. And I started to cry instantly. The tears are rolling out of me. And it was my dad's aftershave. It was so incredibly strong. I'm walking up to the door and I can't unlock the door. It's not working. My tears, I mean, bawling my eyes out, saying, Lord, I know I'm not alone. Feeling sorry for myself doesn't work. I am positive. And I said, Lord, I know it's necromancy to communicate with the dead. He said, it's not necromancy to control your emotions and to talk to me. So I began to say, Lord Jesus, I'm so blessed that you let me smell my dad's presence. Holy Spirit, thank you. And I started to feel healing in my heart take place. Why am I saying that? Because I don't know anybody that doesn't go on a self-pity trip once in a while. Do I get an amen? All right. So that was my experience at that time, that I believe an angel of the Lord, namely Dad, came to just visit and let me taste and smell his presence. Just for a moment. It was all I needed. My drive home was anything but feeling sorry for myself. Because there was an impact from heaven that came from the heavenly church and touched me in this realm on a lonely, dark Sunday night. The scripture says in Hebrews that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. A cloud. How many drops of rain are in a cloud? Did you ever ask yourself? Lots. That is what we're living in. We're living in a season where I believe the Holy Spirit is going to be so powerful and so downloading into this realm that you're going to be able to smell the presence and to see the presence of those angels. One of the nights that we were on Zoom, and my wife, being who she is, sitting next to me but doesn't want to be seen on the Zoom screen. Okay, so she's sitting maybe about 18 inches from my chair. And she's watching my little sister here who's giving a testimony, a about what's happening in her life. And I'm watching her just like I'm seeing Leah right now, all the way from Oregon. So Irene is right next to me and she's watching all these people, and they all gave their little piece to the puzzle until Sammy came over and she was highlighted because it highlights. And Sammy gave her whole testimony of what she wanted to release. So now the power goes out, we shut down the machinery, and Irene says to me, by the way, she said, who was that man that was standing behind Sammy? I said, what man? She says, well, there was a man. He was right there, right next to her, right next to her shoulder. And she said, I thought you saw him. I said, no. Irene has never had a day vision. I said, we need to call Sammy. We need to let her know that you saw in the realm of the spirit that there's a person right next to her. And he had a hat on, if I remember correctly. And I know that I said, you need to call Sammy. She's okay. But she says, am I crazy? No, you're normal. You're who you are. God has given you a day vision, but it's never happened before. I said, it happened now. Great. Isn't that great? She said, yes, yeah. Okay. So she gets on the phone and Sammy and her talk about what she saw. It took what, several days when I called you back, and we, because I kept getting one word that came into me, was grandfather. And the hat, if I remember correctly, was like a captain's hat, correct? Yeah, and it was white, if I remember correctly. So now, of course, Sammy is digesting this information. Irene is still recovering from that experience. I still recover from mine because there were many. But you see, that realm is going to be opening up more and more and more so that the Holy Spirit will be able to be confirming that the heavenly church is on your side. They are not just sitting around some cloud taking a nap. That's God's detestable adversary that says, you're going to be forever sitting on a cloud. That's boring. Okay? I used to sell Sealy, and I know that, you know, when you sleep on a Sealy, you sleep on a cloud and all that good garbage. What I'm saying to you is this. The heavenly church is going to be exposing itself more and more. The hosts of heaven, I believe, will be seen by the men and women of God that are serious and want to mature. And they will confirm what you and I are still doing in the earth. He doesn't want us to be up one day and down the next. He wants us on an even keel. You see, Christian teenagers are unruly, they're self-willed, and sometimes rambunctious, and so was I. But the mature believer is going to be more than it's ever been before, and there is a purpose in the reasons for the tests that you've been through. There is an ultimate awareness that these servants of the Most High are going to work on your behalf. But it won't happen until you get serious with your belief system, getting to know God's word instead of the opinions of men, getting the truth of God's word instead of all the war games that go on in the box. Right, darling?
Right, Pastor.
The box that she used to teach us needs to go into the trunk and let the Holy Spirit have his way. That's the message for today.